Today on episode number 326 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we're going to talk about what to do if your co-host is a jerk. We're going to reset last week's episode about talking on your podcast and when it's okay. We're going to be talking about Stitcher, and it's award season.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to all points in between, because there is one place on the internet where you can find everything you need to launch a successful podcast, and that is schoolofpodcasting.com. I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and it's kind of weird. I'm sitting here in this room. I'm podcasting from a, quote, new studio. And what's interesting is, I'm going to guess it is 10 by 15. It's a little baby office that I have here, and I'm very excited about it. But I'm noticing some reverb in here. Going to have to put up some treatment. But everybody else, did you hear that sound? That was everybody else going, I don't hear what he's talking about. And that's one of the things you have to just get over. As long as you're, this is where I differ from some of the other podcast consultants. I say, as long as your podcast is listenable, you know, I don't have any control over the fact that the air conditioning and the heating is on. A lot of times I'll turn that off and things like that. But I'm very excited. I feel very official now that my office is no longer in my bedroom or my basement. It's actually its own little office at 20525 Detroit Avenue, Suite 2. Broadcasting, podcasting from the lovely metropolis that is Rocky River, Ohio, which is better known as West Cleveland. And today, I want to talk to you, first off, about Stitcher. If you are new to Stitcher, first of all, it's a free app that allows you to stream podcasts. You don't have to download them anymore. There's no syncing, things like that. It's a very cool app, and there's tens of thousands of stations on there. You can get, here's the cool thing, you can get customized recommendations. You know when you go to Amazon.com and they go, if you like this, you'll probably like this? They do that a lot on Stitcher. It's a great way to discover new podcasts. And the Stitcher app was named by Apple one of the top five news apps in 2011. And I use them a lot. I actually use a program on my phone called Beyond Pod, but I have a whole nother set list of podcasts like, that are not kind of my second string in some cases. So if people are behind on their shows, I'll go over to Stitcher. And the great thing about it, I just click go and I start listening. And you can also listen online as well. We should mention that as well. But the question was, when you go into that app, you can, or if you even go on their website and you say, hey, I want to look at this particular genre, it'll bring up a list of shows. And my question was, how is that list generated? And it turns out this is from a representative over at Stitcher. And she said the top list by genre from these stations are determined by the shows on the Stitcher list. They're actually determined by unique listeners each week, not likes. Likes do affect what's hot, that section, and that's on the app only, as well as the recommendation engine. So if you're listening to this on Stitcher, hey, how about a little thumbs up, a little like? Would appreciate that. It's an easy, free way to support the show. Greatly appreciate that. So if you wonder what that list comes from, okay, let me read that again. The top list by genre from these stations are determined by the shows on the Stitcher list. Obviously, you have to be on Stitcher to be on that list. And they are actually determined by unique listeners each week. So that's what's really cool about it. They actually have a chart system out there as well. That might be what she's talking about as well with the Stitcher list. She says, the other thing, the complete Stitcher list is located in the app. And it says in the number one placement under Browse Shows, it says popular and trending. So if you want to see where you're at, I know I was very happy because my Building a Better Dave podcast, I've kind of brought that back. And it was up like 649% or something like that. And I had two. I had this podcast and Weekly Web Tools were in the top 100. So it was very, very cool. I was very happy about that. She also says, top shows, this is the top 100 overall by unique listeners each week. It is broken out by genre at the station level. And then top movers, this is week-to-week percent improvement on Stitcher, which is why my podcast went from 0 to 60 because I hadn't put out an episode in a while. That is also based on unique listeners. But rank is based on percentage growth by the show. And then most shared is shows that have been shared the most frequently via the email, Twitter, or Facebook icons on Stitcher. So, hey, if you're on Stitcher, tweet me, Facebook me, all that other fun stuff. The other thing, so that's it. If you ever wondered about that with Stitcher, also, if you have never tried it and you have a smartphone, want to check it out, you can go over and use the code DaveJ to unlock that. And it's a very cool app. It keeps progressing, and they're going to be in cars. They're already in cars. A lot of great stuff. And it's also available for the iPad and the Kindle Fire and the Nook. So if you want to stream podcasts, you want to cut the cord to iTunes, that is an easy way to do it. Oh, yeah, and it's free. Yeah, the other thing I forgot to talk about, if you go to stitcher.com/DaveJ, you can actually get the app. And I forgot, you also, when you sign up to get the app, and again, it's free, you actually, your name is entered to win a $100 cash reward. So, hey, who doesn't want $100, right? That'll buy you a microphone and then some. And speaking of Stitcher, they just came out and have announced that they're the first ever 2002 Stitcher Awards. This is where you can actually vote for your favorite podcast. Now, the fun thing is the podcast awards, which have been around for many, many years, that's the award system that Raw Voice, Todd Cochran, the whole Blueberry community, they kind of started that, and they always announce those. And that is going on as well. So what's interesting, here's the thing I love about this. I think it's kind of ironic that the thing that gets you the most listeners and the thing that really just your audience embraces is phenomenal content, right? Content is king. We talk about that over and over and over. And now that these awards come out, the one thing that all these podcasts that are worthy of being nominated for are going to do is beg their audience for votes, which in my opinion is not the best content in the world. But if you want to see, I've got a bunch of shows. I've got the School of Podcasting. I've got Weekly Web Tools. You could put those in the technology. Logical Weight Loss podcast, you could put under Fitness and Health. If they have anything about religion or spirituality, you could put in my Feeding My Faith podcast or the Grow Your Church show. If you want any, if there's any kind of comedy or life stories, you could always throw in Building a Better Dave. And for business, you could actually, I was going to say marketing musician, but you could actually put in Struggling Entrepreneur. That's a friend of mine, Fred Castaneda does that one. You could also do Marketing Over Coffee. That's another good one. And if you're looking for one for TV, use Daniel J. Lewis's Once Upon a Time podcast. He's another friend of mine. And since I don't do anything in TV, throw a vote there for Daniel because he's working really hard on that podcast. Great guy. He does the Audacity podcast. So now if you want to see, and again, I really would like to be nominated, I guess, part of me. But the other part of me looks at this and go, oh, this is just silly, right? Like I really would like to be like to say I was one of the first people to get a Stitcher award. That would be cool. But I also know that in a way it's kind of just a bunch of podcasters. I don't know, what is it, like an ego thing? There you go. Master of the English language. So I have a, I borrowed a domain name from a friend of mine who let it expire. So if you go to Podcast Circle Jerk, podcastcirclejerk.com, that will take you over to where, yes, that's a joke. And you can see where I talk about what to vote for and things of that nature. And I'll have links right there where you can do that. That again, podcastcirclejerk.com. Next up, just a few kind words from my friend, David Greenwalt.
Hi, my name is David Greenwalt, and I'm a certified wellness coach. I run a company called The Leanness Lifestyle, and we specialize on permanent weight control for our clients. I recently wanted to revive a podcast that I had listed on iTunes, and it was basically, the reason was it was a mess. There were parts of it that were okay and parts of it not, and the parts of it that weren't okay, I didn't know how to fix. I was using a basic WordPress blog, and I was using Feedburner to get things going for iTunes. It was listed, but things just weren't quite right. So since I'd started this podcast way back in 2005, you know, I'd let it die, and I wanted to revive it and get it right. And the parts that were wrong, I didn't know how to make right. So I did a Google search for a podcast consultant or a podcast coach, and I came across Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. So I sent Dave an email, and within 24 hours, I got a response back. And within 24 hours after that, I was on the phone with him. I hired him for a one-hour phone consult. And I'm just going to say, that's the greatest hour I could have probably ever spent in helping me to revive my podcast. The parts of my podcast that were a mess, I didn't know how to fix. And he was just so incredibly helpful. So what we had to do is we had to convert everything over from Feedburner to the new PowerPress. And he helped me do all of that. We literally shared screens, and in that hour, he told me to copy and paste this, toggle that, click this, move this here, go back to iTunes, go back to PowerPress, go back to Feedburner. We just went back and forth, and with him on the phone as we shared screens, I got to say that was so incredibly easy. And the time savings for me in taking just 1 hour with Dave is incredible. I don't have any doubt whatsoever that it would have taken me 20 or more hours on my own, or even worse, you know, as I have, you know, found is sometimes we just get busy and it never turns into 20 hours. Sometimes we just don't get it done, and it ends up being one of those projects that you always meant to get done, but you don't get done. So instead of that, I got it done. And I got it done with Dave's help, and he was so incredibly helpful. The money that I spent for the consult was so worth it. And I told Dave that I wanted to do this testimonial for him. He did not ask for this testimonial, but I wanted to do it because I was so impressed by his expertise. You know, if you're looking to either start a podcast or clean up a podcast or convert from the old Feedburner feed, if you're like me and you started it way back when or whatever, or you've been trying to do this on your own, get a hold of Dave from the School of Podcasting, David Jackson, and hire him. Do a personal one-on-one phone consult or sign up for whatever program he's got. I recommend the personal one-on-one phone consult because if you're like me, time is money, and this is not my expertise. And I like to hire people who are experts in their field and great at what they do so that I can save time and money in the end. That's exactly what I did. I got my money's worth and so much more. And again, just want to say thank you to Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. Hire him. You'll be glad you did. And I hope that you receive this well, and my best to you. Goodbye.
David, wow, thank you so much. I deeply appreciate it. That was great meeting you. Here's a guy, David has a great story. Here's a guy that was a highway patrolman, I believe he was in police enforcement for many, many years, and started doing, you know, personal training. And to make a long story short, he just ended up having to follow his passion. And I would not mind looking. I can say this. I'm confident in myself. I would not mind looking like David Greenwald, man. This guy's thick as a brick, and I would not mess with Dave. So it was really great working with him. And if you go out to our website again, at just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/326. I'll have a link to Dave, or you can just go out to leanlistlifestyle.com. Thank you so much. Wow. That's actually, from a teaching standpoint, that just makes my day. Because when I can help somebody, and you know, the thing you want as a teacher is a willing and hungry student, and that is exactly what Dave was. Great guy. Anyway, wanted to reset last week's episode. I was talking about, is it okay to read your podcast? Because sometimes when you read your podcast, it sounds like you're reading your podcast, even if you try to add some voice inflection, because who stops in the middle of a sentence and then continues on unless you're Paul Harvey, page 3, right? So, and what was that guy doing? That guy was reading the news, and that's one of the things. I sent this question out. We got some feedback from different people, and one of the things, I think it was Eileen from, Eileen? Eileen, you'll be happy to know I typed in Eileen blog tips and your website came right up, basicblogtips.com. She had a great point. She said, you know, we listen to people that read all the time. When you listen to an audiobook And somebody else had put in and said, well, sometimes I listen to this one podcast and they're reading the news and it doesn't bother me. So I think in some cases, reading your podcast is acceptable if people expect you to be reading something. But if it's a conversational type of podcast, and that's how I treat this one. I mean, I have an outline in front of me of things I want to talk about, but I try to treat my podcast like I'm just talking to you, because I am. And it's just me and you in my new little 10 by 15 room with the green wallpaper, and we're just chatting about podcasting. So I think it does depend. There are circumstances where it's okay to be reading, sound like you're reading, and it will be accepted. But I did have many people say that, yeah, if it sounds like somebody's reading and it's supposed to be somebody just talking to somebody, supposed to be kind of a conversation, supposed to be just a spewing of opinion, I guess, maybe. The reading thing kind of hinders that. All right, last up, want to relay a story here. It's always kind of interesting, as I've been, I always say I've been doing this since 2005, whoop-de-doo, but it's always kind of great to hear the things that I discuss and the things that I help you discover that I'm saying this because of my history, because of my experience. And when somebody comes up to me with a problem and I go, here's somebody who's just jumping into podcasting, and that's fine. We all just come in a different, sometimes you walk into the middle of a movie, and really podcasting is still, we're approaching our teens kind of really in terms of growth and acceptance and things of that nature. So you've got plenty of room to jump into the podcast pool, and the water is fine. But I was talking, and I'm just going to keep all the names out of this. I asked him, and he said, yeah, you can talk about this. I'd love to hear about it. But let's not give any publicity to people, because there are some hard feelings in this story. And so I always say the great thing about a podcast that has multiple hosts, so you could have 2, 3, 5, 10, whatever, is you can have that great chemistry, especially have people that play off of each other. We talked about this last week. Are you talking at your audience? Or are you talking to them? And if you are not talking to them, sometimes it's fun to listen to people who have great conversations. They have great chemistry. And so this is an example. I've always told people, when you plan your podcast, and there's a large section at the School of Podcasting that goes over all the little things that you should be asking yourself as you go through. I don't want you to fall into paralysis by analysis, because you can't overthink your podcast. But there are some things you should think about. In fact, I'm actually getting ready to submit my next book, Planning Your Podcast, to the editor. And one of the things I talk about is, if there are more than one person, you have to have people that have the same passion. We talked about this about a month ago. You have to have people that have the same passion for audio quality. And, the more you can match up on schedule, passion, time zone, things like that, the easier it's going to be. And then the thing you want to do is, I always recommend, even though you may not get a lawyer involved with this, bust out a Microsoft Word document and literally get on the same page. Now, what do I mean by that? We all start off because we have a plan. We want to have some fun. We want to start a podcast. Maybe we're a nonprofit. We want to reach a global audience. Maybe we want to be seen as an expert. Maybe we want to help promote our products. Maybe we want to develop a relationship with our audience, like comedians are doing. All sorts of reasons to start a podcast. If you want to know why you should start a podcast, go listen to my podcast, The Power of Podcasting. It's at powerofpodcasting.com. But that's just some of the reasons, and there are some success stories over there that people are doing. But you want to talk about, in the same way that you hate, why many people hate doing prenups for a wedding, because it sounds like you're planning for the worst. But the thing is, when you are married, you pledge to stay with that person till you die. I don't believe most people start a podcast saying, yes, I will podcast with you till my last dying breath. Eventually, the podcast, much like Seinfeld, much like MASH, much like any other great entertainment program that goes on for years eventually will probably stop. Maybe, depending on the scenario, right? And you need to answer the question, what happens if somebody wants to leave? Now, why would somebody want to leave? Well, maybe when you started the podcast, you were in your mid-20s, and all of a sudden, so-and-so turned 28, got married, and had a kid. Well, their priorities are going to shift greatly, and they may say, you know what? Junior needs some new shoes, and I'm going to take a second job. And then something's got to go. Okay, now, so, you know, it was the Biff and, Spike show. Biff and Spike did their weekly sports podcast, right? And Spike is leaving because he had a kid. Okay, now, does this mean that Biff has to take down all the episodes that have Spike in it? Does this mean, what happens if things like we've created merchandise and Spike has put money in to have some t-shirts made and those t-shirts are still going to be sold? Does he still have rights to get his profit out of that merchandise? You know, if you're going to be adding new people, is that going to be up to a vote? If somebody gets fired, how do you get fired? What do you have to do to get fired? Will there be warning shots? Talk about all the things that you hope will never happen. But in reality, how are we going to wind down the podcast? In fact, I might even suggest that when you start a podcast, everybody says, I'm going to give this 2 years, maybe a year. Let's do a year, and then every year say, do we still want to do it? Because that's what they do with sitcoms, right? At the end of the year, they usually get raises, they either get renewed or they don't get renewed. But you have to ask yourself, what happens if somebody leaves? And in this case, here's what's interesting. There was, they ended up at one point having four hosts. But it turns out there was one person, apparently, that was really in control. And I'm going to say he was in control because he had the passwords. He had the logins to the website. He probably has logins to the media hosts and things like that. And he told everybody, you know, hey, we're all in this together. But there were two hosts that disagreed. Again, doesn't mean somebody was wrong, but they had different passions, different ideas of how the show would go. Long story short, two people got fired. You have been let go of the podcast. And that's where the person that I was talking to came on board. And so it was, I think at that point, three people. They brought in another person and kind of the same thing. This one person had obviously a very clear idea of how he wanted the podcast to go. And if you disagreed with him, you were basically fired. Now, when they brought new people in, they were like, yeah, welcome to the family. We all own 25% of the podcast. And nonetheless, decisions were made, and the person I was talking to was fired from the podcast. And so the thing is, he's since started his own podcast in the same genre, and he has a couple other people, and life is going good for them. But he had done 12 episodes with this other person, and he asked me, do I have any right to have those taken down? To which, of course, I answered, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. But my first question was, do you have anything in writing? And if you have something in writing, again, I'm not a lawyer. But if you have something in writing, at least you could have something to take into court and say, this is what we all agreed on. You know, if you want to have it notarized, you could, you know, without making it, again, I'm not a lawyer. But I would think if you had something in writing, because now if they wanted to go into court, he could say, hey, he said that I had, you know, 25% of the podcast and I was this and I did that. And the other person could go, no, I didn't. And now you've just spent lawyers' fees to point fingers at each other. This is why you need to get stuff in writing. Because somebody decided you weren't good enough for the podcast anymore. And you need to come up with a way. How do you vote people off? Is there any kind of probation period? Hey, for the next month, if you can't, you know, we need a podcast on our schedule, whatever that is, once a week, once a day, once a month. And if you miss them, you know, or hey, we said when we started out, we were all going to put out, you know, $50 for a microphone. and you keep using the one that's built into your laptop and you sound awful, are you going to have some kind of warning shot for that person to go out? And just, you know, if you think about it, like a business, businesses have all sorts of things. It's like, here's how you get fired. Here's what you do to get reprimanded. Here are the punishments for those. And it sounds, you know, kind of weird, because I realize you're going, well, I just want to get together with my buddies and talk about games. Okay, well, that's great. But what happens if you get popular? And then who owns the content? Is that a case where could that person that got kicked out take his 12 episodes and put them on his podcast? And so in the end, this is what I told him, because there are hurt feelings here. He really wanted this person to take them down, and he was obviously, and probably rightfully so, upset that he had been fired from this podcast that he was very passionate about. So I said, okay, I understand completely why you want those episodes down. You put a lot of time, put a lot of effort into that, and you're not reaping any of the benefits of that. I said, now, here's the thing. You could go over and you know, threaten people and this and that. I said, because what had happened is, after he had left, there was some trash talking going on via Twitter, and some emails were sent that weren't so nice. And I said, look, it's not going to get any better at this point. So here was my recommendation for this. Number one, you can always catch, how's the old saying go? You can always catch more flies with honey than whatever. To which I go, or bees. You can always catch bees with honey. And I'm like, who wants to catch bees? Those things sting you. So I said, I would say, dear Mr. Bully, right? I appreciated the time we had on the podcast. Obviously, things didn't go as planned. And then, so that's the nice thing. Then I will explain how this person was going to benefit. Obviously, you found some new host. I'm glad to hear the show is continuing, but it might be confusing for your audience to hear the episodes with my voice on it. They might go, hey, who are those people? And rather than confuse them, I would like it if you just took them down. So you're kind of explaining, hey, don't confuse your audience. Take down my episodes. Now, this person could very well go, I'm not taking them down. He could. And if you want to take him to court, by all means, you could. But in the end, it's going to be up to the judge. And then you're going to have somebody who heard that person say, yes, we all own 25% and blah, blah, you know, and it's really seriously. And I said, look, you are putting out effort on something that's in the past, something that you can't change. Take that energy and put it into creating great killer content that is so much better than that old podcast. And just don't look back. Because in the end, when you're on your 50th episode, when you're on your 100th episode, when you're on your 326th episode, those 12 episodes really won't matter. And if you go in and say, take these down or I'm suing you, and you threaten them, well, this guy's already being Mr. Nasty Pants on Twitter in an email. Threatening this person is not going to help that situation. So I was very sorry to hear that they had to go through that situation. You know, things don't always work out the way you planned, but I now hope you can see that if you're going to do a podcast with multiple people, you should sit down and everybody, if you can, take your emotions out of it and just look at it and say, okay, look, if things go good and we get famous and we make money and we get on the radio, we get on TV, whatever, and we reach the world, we end poverty, we end hunger, we cure cancer, whatever it is you're doing with your podcast, you know, how are we going to handle success? Then sit down. Okay, now, if our podcast goes horribly wrong and I want to poke you with a pencil and urinate on your shoes and things just go horrible, how are we going to handle that? And then when you do this, when you set it up, here's what's going to happen if we succeed. Here's what happens if we fail. When you have that and you know you have set your expectations, and that's the bottom line here to this whole thing, setting podcast expectations, then you know what to expect. You know how you're going to react, and you cannot worry about it and just go forward and work on making your content, work on connecting with your audience, working on marketing your podcast, getting the word out, and just enjoying the power of podcasting. So rock bands have a horrible track record with this. Pink Floyd, of course, Roger Waters and Dave Gilmour, been in Pink Floyd forever. Roger Waters, whatever, has a hissy fit, leaves Pink Floyd, and he wants to take the name with him. So they sued each other for years over that. And here's the other thing to think about that. Who gets hurt in that scenario? When people that you cherished, and you had this whole thing where, wow, Pink Floyd was so cool, or let's go Queensryche. Queensryche is a kind of a hard rock band from the 80s and 90s. They had Silent Lucidity. The lead singer, Jeff Tate, just got kicked out of his own band. And he's saying negative things about this. And you, as a fan of the music, you have this thing where you have, yeah, those are my boys on stage, and they're you know, singing about Operation Mindcrime and Comfortably Numb and whatever it is, right? And when you kind of find out that secretly these people hate each other, it goes back to what I said about a month and a half ago. With podcasting, you have integrity up front. And when people are listening to your podcast and you're laughing, you're having a good time, you have this great chemistry, and you find out later that, wow, these people really hated each other. And sometimes that's the chemistry, right? Now, if that's the case, let that, you know, let your freak flag fly, right? And let people know that, yeah, I really don't like that guy a whole lot. Maybe that's what makes your show interesting. But when you are different off mic than you are on mic, your fans are the one that suffer. So when you then make a big public stinky to-do about all this stuff, it is your fans. And now you're like, well, they're just going to follow me over to my podcast. Well, you know what? Maybe they won't. Because maybe now they're going to go, well, you know, I thought you were cool. And, you know, you went and Spike and Biff, you know, I thought you guys were forever. And now you went and left. And I'm like, Biff. You know, whatever. Why'd you have to say all that stuff about Spike? Spike was my friend, and vice versa. So in the end, it hurts your fans. It gives you, everybody gets a black eye. So that's why planning it. And if you can leave, let's look at this. And then I will shut up. Jay Moore gets a quarter of a million downloads an episode. Not too shabby. Of course, he's been in Jerry Maguire. He's an actor. He's a comedian. Very, very funny guy. He does more stories. He started off on the Smodcast Network with Kevin Smith. And I'm not sure what these guys signed, but Jay jumped into podcasting and went, whoa, is this cool? And Kevin Smith was nice enough to help him get one started. But once Jay saw and he discovered the power of podcasting, he's like, oh, I want to do this on my own. I thank you so much for getting this in, you know, getting me into this. But I enjoy your network. I want to start my own network. And Kevin Smith and Jay, right? Two, for lack of a better phrase, you know, famous people could have had a really nasty, stinky, public, finger-pointing altercation, right? Twitter wars. Yes, Twitter wars is, oh, plenty. But instead, Kevin Smith was like, all blessings to you, man. Thanks for bringing people to my network to check out my other shows. Best to in everything you do with your network. And so consequently, those two guys talk about each other on a not a super regular basis, but when they do, they have nothing but nice things to say about each other. And so I don't think bad about Kevin Smith because he said Jay was a poopy butt. And I don't think Jay Moore is a jerk because he said Kevin Smith is a jerk. So by having an exit strategy, in the event somebody wants to exit because life happens, your fans then get the benefit of both worlds. If you don't have a plan and things end ugly, you basically end up with a black eye in both cases. So that is going to do it for today's podcast. What did we learn today? You know, think, plan ahead, get things in writing, set your podcast expectations. we learn that it's voting season, not just for presidential. And by the way, for the record, it doesn't matter who you vote for. The banks bone both candidates. So, you know, enjoy what you get, America, and continue to watch the Kardashians and Honey Boo Boo and whatever, because meanwhile, your government is sticking it to you. And I'll just leave it at that. But there are voting things going on. Go to podcastcirclejerk.com. I would deeply appreciate any nomination, either at the Podcast Awards or the Stitcher Awards. If you're on Stitcher, give me a little thumbs up. That would be greatly appreciated. And we learned a little bit about the top lists in Stitcher. And we learned that reading your podcast is not always a bad situation, because in some cases, it's expected. Now, are you ready to start podcasting? Because you can see where the experience I have is helping people and could help these people avoid the headache that they just went through. There's one place on the internet, one place. And let me share this with you today. I spent 45 minutes today trying to take back a cable modem. Why? Because I did a Google search for Time Warner Cable in Akron, Ohio. That's where I needed to turn back the cable box. Well, guess what? Google came up and said, oh yeah, there's one right there on Britton Road. And I drove up and down Britton Road, and I drove by where it used to be. I drove right by where I picked up the box. And guess what? The internet occasionally, I know it's hard to believe, has outdated stuff. And whatever Akron office they had, doesn't exist anymore. So you can go ahead and you can Google search all you want, podcasting tips, podcasting this, podcasting that. And you know what you're going to find? In some cases, really outdated material that's going to tell you to use Feedburner, and it's going to tell you to use Podbean and how to use Blog Talk Radio. And if you've been listening to me the last couple months, you know that's a really bad idea. And so there's one place that not only has step-by-step tutorials that are going to walk you through this in a jargon-free zone, and if for some reason you don't understand it, it's better than a book, because if you ask a book a question, it's going to give you the same answer. Now you've got a live personal podcast coach that's going to walk you through that, step-by-step tutorials and resources to get you up and going. So I thank you so much for listening. I deeply appreciate you, Dave, for the kind words there. Check him out again at leanlifestyle.com. And I will see you hopefully on the inside of the School of Podcasting. And until next week, God bless. Class is dismissed.